Friday, July the 31st, 2026. Hope all is well. Looking forward to a great show today. A lot to do today. Josh Williams, 7:25 this morning. I want to talk college football with Josh. Normally, our ReedyLandco.com hunting and fishing report, but Jinx Patrick's out of town, so he is going to be with us on Monday. So just one guess, and we've got a ton to get into. It's going to be a busy show and a great show, and a lot of football talk on today's show as I bring in the Miss Ashby Mixon. Good morning, friend. How are you?
Good morning, friend. How are we doing?
Oh, I am great for a couple of reasons. First, the question I'll ask you almost the second or third or fourth question I'll ask you every day. Have you made your decision today?
I made my decision bright and early this morning. Felt good about it. We got the worship music going. We were feeling
really
good driving here.
The worship music.
Oh, yeah.
I was about to say, I feel like we need to name that or phrase that differently, like the decision.
The decision. We sound like LeBron.
Or not just that, or like, have you decided that about your spirituality this morning? You're going to follow the Lord this morning? We made that decision many, many years ago.
Yes.
This morning, the decision is you can have a good day or a bad day.
Exactly.
Because you control whether you're going to have a good day or a bad day. And you control it with your mind. So it was the worship music that got you this morning.
It was worship. I usually rotate. Like sometimes I'll do worship music and then I'll rotate to like rock or rap. It usually is a really interesting combination, but the Lord knows where my heart is.
This is a generation gap thing here too. And so I didn't grow up in church, and now we've got a lot of really good modern Christian musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have that in my repertoire either. So if I ever get in that musically inclined,
I'll put you on.
I need to do that. But the other, I just belt out the doxology around the house sometimes. I will. My wife and kids look at me, and I'll do it in this deep voice, like I'll be, praise God, and they're like, what? What are you doing, Dad?
I'm praising the Lord, son.
Yeah.
Good morning. Yeah, I don't blame. I'll listen to gospel music. That's what I love.
Yes, yes. So you made that decision. I made it this morning at about 5:06.
Bright and early, Mickey.
Yeah, my daughter's on my laying on my shoulder, my arm underneath her, and I love it when she'll pull my other arm over now. Like it's just so I got to protect me, Daddy. I love that. Anyway. And I just said, God, I can't believe, A, you woke me up. B, you gave me this wife and kids and this family and this life. And just thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I thought, it's the weekend. It's Friday, so it's the weekend. And what I didn't know, two things that made the affirmation of my decisions.
Tell me.
To be in a great day today. Number one, I open up the garage door, and it's 66 degrees.
Come on.
I begin to feel the chill of an early fall, George Strait. It got a little crisp this morning at 66. And then the second thing that happened was, speaking of music, I'm listening to radio this morning, and I got that, she came in through the bedroom window, you never, money, carry the weight, you know that melody. The Beatles.
You
never give me my money, or you never.
Great song.
Yeah, the whole,
you
but the
never,
melody. Of,
give yeah. Me my money. Great song.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Like a top five Beatles song.
I agree. I thought so. Anyway, I got that, and then I got some David Allan Coe right before I got out of the car. So
that's gonna put you in a great mood.
And it's Friday. If being in a good mood was an Olympic sport, I'd be in a medal stand right now, man.
I think you're elite.
I am elite in being in a good mood right now. In golf, there's a guy called Club Pro Guy. He's a parody account. And he talks about how he's just terrible at golf, too. But he talks about his punch-out game for hitting in the woods all the time. He said, my punch-out game's elite. So being in a good mood's elite. What are we going to do in the second segment of the day?
We are going to talk about something Tyler Grisham said in Media Days that I thought was interesting. Talk about some offense with it.
I can't wait to do that.
And then if we haven't already, we got to talk about this Kirk Cignetti stuff.
I can't wait to do
that. Oh, nothing brings me joy quite like a great SEC shaming quote.
Yes. We are, by proxy, we are Big Ten fans.
Yes.
Because we grew up, both of us grew up in this SEC country or live and we had to hear that all that propaganda of it means more SEC and all. And so by proxy, we have to pull for the SEC, the Big Ten against the SEC right now. And now we're all Indiana fans, and now we're Kirk Cincinnati fans. I will just lead off with this, and we'll get into this a little bit later on. First, I want to basically do two things today.
Okay.
One is Cincinnati stuff.
Boom.
Two is they put up on Twitter, and I don't know where else I saw it on, if there's any other social media, a seven-minute clip of you and I yesterday, and it's too much of me and not enough of you on it.
Oh, my gosh, stop.
Chad from Columbia had a question as the show was signing off, and I went off. It was not Quackenbush went off, but I went off. And I want to get into that because we disagreed on something. And I like the fact we're disagreeable, but not disagreeable. How about that? Anyway.
Never disagreeable.
So with that said, I think that's going to be an hour of the show today. And I think Cincinnati's going to be an hour of the show today, maybe.
Shout out our friend Chad Columbia for prompting this debate.
Yes.
This is awesome.
Yes. So let's do that. The one thing I'll say about Cincinnati. First, can we pull the clip up?
She's ready to roll.
All right.
Don't you worry.
Let's hear her then. I love this. This is at the SEC. I mean, at the Big Ten Media Days yesterday from the head coach in Indiana.
And is the best league in football. And a lot of really good football teams. It's hard to win on the road. Very physical football teams. Very well coached. It definitely prepares you for the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. The numbers speak for themselves. I mean, we don't run a hype machine up here in the Midwest. We believe everything's earned, not given. And when we fall short, we say we fell short. We don't cry a river, whine, and complain. All right? And that's why we're the best.
Coach Cignetti, thank you.
Coach Cignetti, thank you so much. Yes.
That's awesome.
What he said was, Greg Sankey, stick it in your ear. All that SEC stuff, stick it in your ear. And this could not have been possible. We talk about perfect storms. I did a podcast this week with about Clemson football, and the guys were like, hey, you know, what's happened? And I was like, well, to be honest with you, it took a perfect storm for Clemson to get to the mountaintop for a decade. And it took a perfect storm to knock them off that. And the perfect storm to get to that was Venables and Dabo teaming up and Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson and Christian Wilkins and Dexter Lawrence teaming up. And it was an incredible run they had. But it also took the perfect storm to knock them off that perch. And that was COVID, transfer portal, and NIL all happening within a couple of years of each other.
And Venables leaving.
And Venables leaving. That's right. So with all that said, the perfect storm for the Big Ten is not only does Harbaugh get Michigan back to where they think they should be, Ohio State stays about where they think they should be, James Franklin gets Penn State in the top 10-ish of the conversation. They add Oregon, who is college football playoff. They add Southern Cal, who's I think is getting there. They add Washington, who was in it. I think UCLA is going to be much improved, by the way. And at the same time, Illinois ups their game. Iowa's been pretty doggone good. And, oh, by the way, Kirk Cignetti turns Indiana to the nation's best football program.
Boom!
So perfect storm through all that. But he's right. Now, let me say this. He's the guy that said, Google me. I just went, Google me. He's the guy that stood up at the Indiana basketball game the night that they introduced him and talked trash about Michigan, Ohio State, and Purdue. And then he says this, and he said other things, he says this. But there's a difference in him. And I know people who are like this, that he's brutally honest. It does come across, if you don't know his history, if you don't know anything about him, it does come across as a little bit of that arrogance. I think it's maybe the perfect word, at least my limited vocabulary, the perfect word I'll say about it. But this is different kind of arrogance. This is supreme confidence mm-hmm. in his abilities.
And he backed it up, all of it.
Right. He foreshadowed it. He said it. He did it. He backed it up, and then he talked about it on the back end of it so far. All right. Well, that said, I don't think that this is what you see in behind the microphone he's showing you who he is, but this is different. Like, I think that Conor McGregor is kind of the same guy behind the microphone, right? Braggadocious, telling you what I'm going to do, telling you what I did and what I'm going to do. I think that Conor McGregor has to have the microphone. I think that's a major part of who he is or who he was at the time, whatever. And, you know, Ali was kind of that way, and some of those guys are that way, where it's a major part of the stick. I think Kirk Cignetti would just as soon never get behind a microphone ever.
Oh, yeah.
So that to me, that says a lot about a guy that he has to answer questions, but the best of the best don't have to tell you how great they are. They'll just show you. I think he would rather just show you, but he has to tell too. And it's just honest way he feels. So this is different than McGregor. Does that make sense?
Well, he's showing you that that's how he lives his life and how he coaches too.
Yes.
Think about him running it up on Alabama. Wanting yes. to. You know, that's yes. that's that personified.
Yes.
That's that kind of confidence, what that looks like in an actual game, is wanting to say, no, we are going to punish you for not being prepared to play with us. We are not going to let up. We are going to run it down your throat. All that stuff, that's him backing it up on the field. Because you got a lot of coaches that have that same kind of chatter. But very few of them in recent years have been able to back it up.
It is refreshing to see. One thing I didn't include in the quote portfolio is the thought about the Alabama stuff last year. Remember when everybody thought, man, Bama's just going to – now it's big-time football, do this. And his whole idea that they were going to take the ball and cram it right down Alabama's throat because – to make a statement against that. Like, he was listening to that. And he knew, and I knew. Remember, I came on – when they beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, I had thought about it in the fall anyway. Like, this is the best team in the country. When they beat Ohio State in the championship game, I said, listen, this team will win the national championship. And none of them were going to be close. Miami's closer than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the best football team in the country. He knew it. And he was listening to all that Bama mystique stuff. And he'd been part of the Bama mystique.
Uh-huh.
But he knew, because he was behind the walls at Bama, and now he's on the other side of it, he knew he had them. And came out and said it. But it came out to set the staff this, we are going to – I don't want to give them the pleasure of watching us drop back and throw a pass, because I want to shove it right down their throat and make a statement. And they had to take it. I love that, man. This is my guy.
Cinema.
Look, I'm an Indiana fan. We're going to be good this year. We've got hopefully Josh Hoover. We can be okay at quarterback. We've got a good offensive line coming back. Feel really good about that.
They're kind of – is Indiana America's team?
They're my team. And, yeah, they're the anti-SEC team.
They're America's team.
They're America's team, yeah.
Can't even be mad, man.
No. No, this is going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I'll tell you, too, looking at it, they're going to be good next year. I mean, this year coming up. They're going to be good. It's a lot of different faces, a lot of pieces in there. But they're going to be really, really good.
Mm-hmm. People forget, too, they also have the money piece behind them.
Yes. They got everything. They're a new national power. Can't wait for that. That's got me excited. Segment 2's got me excited with the Grisham stuff. And then the whole idea about our debate yesterday to end the show.
Let's do it.
This is going to be a great one. We'll come back. I hope you're going to be with us. I can't thank you enough for listening. We're going to have a great Friday and get you ready for the weekend. Love to have you for the next 2 hours and 40 minutes. Short break, much more to this.
Looking to rile up one of our hosts?
Just want to have a chat with a fellow fan?
Whatever the reason,
give us a call on our Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line
at 864-654-ROAR. The Roar,
where your voice is always heard.
Weekend weather is going to be great. It's a great grilling season. We are so close to tailgate season. I just want to get you ready on all accounts. Let's make sure that the tailgate machine is working. Let's make sure we got the little grills out that you bring your tailgate to it. Let's do all that. And you know what you can do? You go to Ingles and get a great cut of beef, a great cut of pork, get you some nice salmon, what it might be. And let's grill out this weekend with the great temperatures. I don't know if you've seen the weather, but we're not in the mid and high 90s for the next 2 weeks. Hopefully, that's grill season, man. It is here. enjoy, get to Ingles and get all that. And then all the sides you're going to go with it. I will tell you this, you don't have to make the sides. Now, if you like grilling out and all that, but like the Amish coleslaw they have, the potato salad they have over there, that deli part of it is fantastic. Get your boar's head meats and cheeses, do all that. And if you don't have time, check all that off on the curbside pickup. I love my great friends at Ingles. Low prices, love the savings, love Ingles.
Sizzling scores all summer long.
And he makes the catch!
The Roar.
Luxury vinyl, the hardwood, the carpet, the laminate, the tile. Ashby, can I give you just the thought about luxury vinyl?
Please.
And the different kinds of luxury vinyls and the pros and cons of luxury vinyl. This is stuff I don't know, but like you have vinyl plank and vinyl tile and vinyl sheet. And there's a huge variety of styles and colors and designs. And there's a bunch of advantages and disadvantages. So it's easy. The advantages are like it's easy to clean, and the maintenance is low, and it's water resistant, and it's easy to install. And it's very efficient. On the other side of it, it's a minimal return on investment. It's not very environmentally friendly. It's difficult to remove. So there's a lot of pros and cons to everything. And that's all their products over there. So learn more about it. Go to this incredible resource you have at GreerFlooringCenter.com, and then do some pre-shopping on there, some colors in there. They got a room visualizer. That's pretty cool. Knowing it's the best product out there, it's Greer Flooring Center. Love them. Love them in Greer and in Easley. It's GreerFlooringCenter.com. Segment two with Ashby Mixon.
So the other day when we go to the local media thing, right, it's kind of like drinking from a fire hose and the amount of information and stories that everybody's telling, which is so fun for us, right? Because it's been summer, there's nothing to talk about, and then you have all these assistant coaches spouting off what they've been thinking for 3 months. It's awesome. I like it way more than ACC kickoff. Okay. So, some really good stories came out of that day, and one that it took me until 2 weeks later to discover was Tyler Grisham talking about his first couple of seasons when he was in the NFL, right? So he was an undrafted free agent by the Steelers in 2009 and then was there through 2011, was on the Denver Broncos practice squad in 2012. All right, that's Tyler Grisham. He's now obviously wide receivers coach at Clemson. So Grisham was talking about this year's offense, and somebody asked him, like, how are these guys adjusting to the different terminology, right? Like, we heard Dabo Swinney say, I feel like I'm not speaking another language for the first time. But did the players feel like that? And he told this story. Grisham did. He said, in my second season with the Steelers, it was Antonio Brown's first year there, all right? Antonio Brown, he's fresh out of, where'd he go, Central Michigan. And he's super talented, but we all know, like, a lot of NFL playbook type stuff was going to be a lot there. It's a lot for every rookie, but it was really a lot for him. So when they would get in the huddle, they would call the play, and it'd be about 40,000 words, right?
Right.
First, they'd tell you the personnel. Then they'd say all the assignments.
Right.
So once Antonio Brown, his rookie season, heard where he needed to go, he would point. He would point at where he was supposed to go on the field, standing in the rest of the huddle. So his back is turned.
Antonio Brown's pointing.
Yes, Antonio Brown is pointing to the exact spot he's supposed to go for the rest of, like, the 30-second huddle, because he knew if he didn't do it, he would forget exactly where he needed to go.
Yeah.
All right? So what that did is, you know, if a defense knew it, might not be great, but for him what it did is it simplified it. And then he was able to know, all right, gotta go right here, okay, I'm lining up left, whatever. So then Grisham takes that and he says, I never forgot that, and I always told my wide receivers this story. Okay, he said, I was talking to Antonio Williams last week and he brought that up to me and said, it's so true, when you get to the NFL, it's a different level of communication. So then Grisham takes it all the way back. And he says, to be honest with you, I kind of feel like that's what our guys at Clemson are doing right now, is there's so much more communication and assignments and words that are being thrown around right now because there's a lot of stuff you have to have in place with a Morris offense to get people where they need to go, that I feel like everybody is kind of wanting to do the Antonio Brown point right now. He was like, so it's going to be really, really important in fall camp to have these guys feeling confident about that. So, Mickey, long, long-winded story, but a couple things come out of this for me. Number one, kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
Number two, does that bring a level of concern about where these guys are in understanding what they're supposed to do in year one with Chad Morris?
Well, think of this. Think about how hard it would have been at the hurry-up phase. Because they're not going to hurry up the way it was hurry up the first time around.
No.
The rules have changed and all that. So then you're really spinning. And think of this, too. They used to go to class and stuff.
I can say I do see them in class.
Okay. All right.
Now, I was a sports comm major, so I probably saw them in class
okay.
proportionally more than anyone else, yeah. but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a concern. There's no doubt that's a concern.
Yeah.
But as you get into a season, and that's a camp concern kind of a thing, because if you get into a season, the best coaches are the ones that call only the stuff that they know their guys can do. I'll give you an example of this, too. So I'm at the 2001 Tennessee and Florida game in Gainesville. And we went down. It was an unbelievable trip we stayed. It was
why? Just for fun?
Okay. No, yeah.
Okay.
I had this great relationship with the University of Florida at the time, or coming off of that. I had a magazine, the Gainesville Touchdown Club had me down to speak. I was writing for the Gainesville Sun. I had a syndicated newspaper column that had like 9 or 11 maybe newspapers, and Gainesville Sun took my recruiting column. That was a weekly column I had, and we had a couple of newsstands there that we were selling a couple hundred magazines a month at, and we had a ton of Gators. So I would go down, not service the account, but and by the way, Lawson Holland was on the staff there, and he's a dear friend of mine. So Florida's a big account for me at the time, and I liked it, man. I was pulling for them. Like, they were great to me. The staff was good to me and all that stuff. And on this game, it was 9/11 was in September, and that was weekend. One of the games weekends got canceled with Tennessee and Florida.
Mm.
And in this game, they moved it to the end of the season, and the winner was going to go to the Rose Bowl to play for the national championship.
Whoa!
And we got tickets to it. And I took my college roommate and I went down, and we stayed. There was a linebacker that played there. It was awesome that I got to know. His dad, I knew his dad, not him. I knew his dad, and he owned this. This is a long story, but he owned this property in Jacksonville, and it was like thousands and thousands of acres.
Oh, gosh.
And I can remember asking him, I was like, Todd, like, what's your, like, your property here? He goes, well, from here to the county line. And, like, it was tens of thousands of acres.
That's when you know somebody is like.
It was unbelievable.
That's crazy.
And I can remember Ingle Martin, who ended up at Furman, like, they were passing out roses in the pregame show because they'd never been to Rose Bowl before, and the winners were going to Rose Bowl. And I remember Ingle Martin, who was redshirt maybe at the time, saying, take those away, man. This is going to be a tough game. Whatever. Anyway, after the game was over, Florida played terrible. Tennessee came in and upset Florida in the swamp to go to the Rose Bowl. And after the game was over, Steve Spurrier said, it's one of the greatest quotes ever to post game. He said, I want to apologize. Mick, you know, they're play-by-play guys, Mick Huber. I want to apologize, Mick. Couldn't do it. My fault. But he said, I'm not going to do it anymore. He said, we tried to run on a long count a couple times. Tried to go on two or three, you know, a couple times. He goes, jumped off sides, cost us football game. And he said, here's the problem. We couldn't do it in practice. I don't know why I thought we could do it in the game. But the point of the whole story is that the best coaches will find out in that camp what your players can handle and what they can't handle. And if you continue to expand the playbook with the guys that aren't comprehending the basics of it, then you're messing up. It happened last year in the secondary. They couldn't do the basics, so why would you try anything else other than the basics? Like, you, if you can't play your scales on a piano, you're not going to play Mozart.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
I appreciated that analogy.
Thank you. Continue. Very much. So, it is concerning for camp. Mm-hmm. It's also concerning that maybe you're leaving a lot in the playbook. If you remember when Chad Morris, though, when he left, one thing that Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott did was they pared it down. They thought they had too much motion, too many sets, too much pre-stuff, and so they did pare it down some. So maybe that will be an issue. Maybe. And then what we'll debate later on is if they can fire him as a result of that. Just kidding. From yesterday's show. Well, how concerned are you?
I think there's a concern any time that you're learning an entirely new offense and trying to put that in with a brand new quarterback year one, right? Like, there's concerns in general with that. I do have faith, because of the playmakers that are going to be on the field, that they're going to find ways to get the ball to them, right?
Yeah.
Even if things don't go exactly as planned, Bryant Wesco, T.J. Moore, Olsen, Pat Henry have proven that they can get open and things can happen. Now, whoever the quarterback is just has to find them in that kind of situation. So I'm nowhere near panicked about it, but I don't necessarily feel great going in to a first-year offense. And I think that you never really do, you know.
Well, we're going to get into something when we come back.
Can't wait.
Because I don't think Clemson's going to Baton Rouge. I'll ask you, think about this during the break. If I told you that Clemson's going to score this amount of points, like, stop me where it would be. You go, oh, yeah, I'll take that. Like, you wouldn't take zero. You wouldn't take one, two, or three. You couldn't take one. You would take two or three, right? If I told you to get two safeties to score four, you wouldn't take that. A safety to field goal five, you wouldn't take that. Two field goals or touchdowns, you would take six. Where would you go, all right, I'll take that? So think about that during the break.
Great question.
All right. Can I just leave you with this?
Please.
Speaking of NFL play call, I just pulled up an AI. Give me an example of NFL play call. You ready?
Go.
Green left, twin nasty, Z-pill tight, pass 37, buster bluff, X-post, Y-bite, kill 53, tight and left on one.
I'd be pointing to my spot, too. I'd be like, what?
So basically.
Kind of pig Latin tight.
And then we come on the show and go, I can't believe the coach didn't know not to do that, man. Like, what?
He's wide open.
Why did they call the touchdown play, Mickey? I don't know. What we should say
run
is.
Run the ball.
What we should say is, did y'all like it when they called green left twin nasty Z-pill tight, pass 37, buster bluff, X-post, Y-bite, kill 53, tight and left on one? Or would y'all have called aces, Vegas, Roger? I mean, goodness gracious. Basically.
XYZ.
Yeah.
AGBT.
Everybody thinks, I play Madden. I know how to do that. Formation, motion, protection, routes, and audibles is what you're doing there. But you're calling everybody. You're telling 11 people their job at a play call. In college, it's not that at all. Mm-mm. In college, it might be green left, Roger, and then they'll say Minnesota. But what Minnesota means is everybody knows on Minnesota, here's the run here, and we're going to run it this, and the blocking scheme is this. But then – then it might be New York. It might be whatever. So you had to learn a couple of different cities in there, but you don't have to learn. Like, if you're an offensive lineman, as a guard, all you're listening to there is the protection. So all you're listening to is pass 37 buster bluff. And you're not listening to green left nasty or two zeal tight, because that's the motion. If you're the offensive lineman, you don't need to know two peel tight.
No.
Or Z peel tight. And you definitely don't need to know X post Y bite. But you do need to know the kill, the audible. So they call the audible in the huddle of what they're going to kill it to. And that's fascinating.
Oh, it really is.
How could you go from calling something Ace Vegas, Roger, Minneapolis, to green left twin, nasty Z-pill tight, pass 37, buster bluff, X-post, Y-bite, kill 53, left tight, no one? Like I said, if I'm a quarterback, I'm like, huh?
If I'm anybody on the field, I'm like, huh?
How do you remember that? I guess if you're the quarterback, you need to know the motion. You don't need to know, well, the formation you need to know. You need the motion. I guess you need to know the protection. You need to know all of it. That's crazy.
Fascinating stuff.
And then here on the radio, we go, well, I think they should have done better than that. They should, I wouldn't have done that if I was out, was off of the coach right there.
He overthrew him. Meanwhile, receiver ran the wrong route.
Yeah, yeah. All right, short break. We'll come back. I'll ask. We're going to get the Clemson offense thing. I was in a good mood.
I'm sorry. Now I got to talk about how bad
the offense is going to be.
No.
All right.
We'll bring it up.
We're going to dissect it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Much more to this.
They say you should never meet your heroes.
But is there a rule against hanging out with your favorite radio host?
Check out our remote calendar on theroarfm.com
to find out when one of our shows will be in your area.
The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority.
Loud, loyal, and locked in. The home for Clemson sports fans.
Whether it's the elegant lines of your interior trim or the curb appeal of your exterior, your home deserves a master's touch. Owned and operated by two Clemson engineers, Painter One of the Upstate specializes in precision property transformations. They believe in total transparency, providing you with daily updates to ensure their work meets your standard. If you're ready to fall in love with your home again, call 864-668-6899 or visit PainterOne.com/upstate. Painter One. Renew your space. Renew your life.
When you're injured on the job, suddenly the company you've been loyal to feels like a stranger. Navigating workers' compensation isn't just about filing a claim, it's about fighting for your livelihood. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we specialize in representing workers who have been sidelined by injury. We know the tactics insurance companies use to delay your benefits or deny your medical treatment. Don't let a workplace accident jeopardize your family's future. Get the medical care and compensation you've earned. Call us today for a free consultation at 864-343-2222. You work for them, now we work for you.
Tiger fans, if you haven't been to Elkmont, you haven't been to Clemson. We at The Roar have been saying this for years because we believe it. At Elkmont, providing an outstanding shopping experience is Amy and Lee's passion. Nowhere else will you find all the brands you love under one roof. On Running, Birkenstock, Patagonia, Z-Supply, Poncho Shirts, Costa, Maui Gyms, Rainbow Sandals, Turtle Box Speakers, Filson, Extra Tough Rain Boots, and the list continues to grow recently by adding L.L. Bean to the Elkmont offering. L.L. Bean is an industry legend known for reasonably priced, quality performance clothing. At Elkmont, it's not just a tagline. There really is something for everyone. Elkmont wants to thank all the Roar listeners for your support through the last 30 years and hope you'll continue to visit Elkmont at the intersection of Highway 123 and 93 in Clemson or online at elkmonttradingcompany.com. That's E-L-K-M-O-N-T tradingcompany.com. And go Tigers!
At Tiger Moving Company, we know your move is more than boxes. It's about trust. As your Greenville neighbors, we treat every move with care and respect. Our trained team handles your belongings as if they were their own, making sure each item arrives safely. Recognized with multiple awards, we are Greenville's top choice for reliable moving services. Visit our website, tigermovinggreenville.com, or call 990-890-28 today to experience the Tiger difference. Tiger Moving Company, where your move is our mission.
Peace of mind is the greatest value we can offer. At Ben Mason Insurance, we protect your future, not just your property. From auto to home, business to specialty vehicles, our team in Boiling Springs is committed to serving upstate families and businesses. Visit us at 188 Blaylock Road or call 864-578-7100. Let us tailor a policy that fits your needs. Ben Mason Insurance, your trusted partner in protection.
Is your home ready for a fresh new look? At Adams & Co. Roofing and Remodeling, we do more than roofs. We offer kitchen and bathroom remodeling too. From modern kitchens and stylish cabinets and countertops to cozy updated bathrooms that feel like your own personal spa, our licensed, bonded, and insured team handles it all. We work with you every step of the way, on time and on budget. Make your remodel dreams a reality. Call Adams & Co. Roofing and Remodeling, 864-260-0080. 864-260-0080 today.
Hi, this is Amanda from the Greenville County Youth Board. Did you know one in five teenagers in South Carolina reported that they currently...
Transparent here. I don't think this offense is going to be good early. And this offense and this program has laid eggs in opening games against Georgia twice, actually, against Duke and against LSU. In four of the last 5 years, these offenses have laid eggs in game one. I think they're going to lay an egg in game one here in Baton Rouge. A, I think Baker's a tremendous defensive coordinator. And B, I just don't trust the personnel in that environment on a Saturday night. Now, I don't think LSU's going to go crazy offensively either. So I'll ask you this. I learned this years ago. I know a guy who's a bookie, and he had this buddy come over every Friday night. And they would rotate back and forth. This is a cool thing they would do. They rotate back and forth. So the guy, his buddy would come over, and they're doing $100 a game. And this is just fun. This is not just part of the business. It's fun, one of the guys. And they take 30 college football games. And they would say, all right, Minnesota -4 at Hawaii. All right, Minnesota -4 at Hawaii. And one guy would go, I like Minnesota. And so if the other guy liked Hawaii, then that just be it to be 4. But the other guy goes, I like Minnesota too. And he goes, all right, -5. And the other guy goes, -6. -6.5. All right, I'll take Hawaii. So they would bid it off, basically, you know?
Yes.
And wasn't it 7.5? Oh, 8.5. So, and if they really like, they go for a long time on a thing, you know, like, oh, I like them 13.5. Like, what? It's 4.5. You get 13.5. Then they had their own lines. And a lot of times they like, you know, they disagreed on what they like, so they just take that. But when they like the same team, they would just bid it off, auction it off. So I'm going to auction it off to you right now.
Okay.
The least amount of points you can score in a game is 0. You would not take a shutout in Baton Rouge.
No.
The question is, stop me where you go, all right, I'll take that and not if you go down there. Okay. All right? You score a safety, you get 2. You take a 2.
No.
3.
Mm-mm.
You can score 4 in a game. 4 is the most rare point total you can ever have in a game.
It's like scoregami territory.
Yeah, two safeties is not happening. Would you take 4?
Mm-mm.
5?
Mm-mm.
6?
Nope.
7?
Mm-mm.
8?
Mm-mm.
9? Mm-mm. 10? I'm just kidding. 10?
No. 11?
Uh-uh. 12?
Uh-uh.
13?
Not quite.
14?
No.
15?
Nope.
16? Mm-mm. 17?
Ding, ding, ding.
You take 17 points right now. Would you take a 27-17 loss right now?
Is it bad if I say yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, let me.
But that's covering the spread. That's better than a lot of people think. It's better than what Vegas thinks.
Let me run you these numbers, all right?
All right.
Since 2021, Clemson has scored more than 10 points in a season opener one time.
Yep.
Against Georgia Tech.
Yep.
And dating back to 2020, only scored 13 against – no, they scored 37, but they scored 13. So dating back to 2021, 4 of the 5 years, it's yep. been – 10, 7, or 3.
Yeah.
So, to be honest with you, asking for 17 points sounds sad to say that I'd be okay with it. But it would be an improvement. And that's where you're at. You'd score one more touchdown than you did in Memorial Stadium.
Any way at all you win with 17?
Great, man. That'd be awesome. I don't think it's happening.
0260 says 21 with a defensive touchdown.
That'd be great.
Yeah. That's where now, that. Look, that's where you know you got question marks on offense when you're counting on the defense to score 7.
Bide you after the secondary was horrible last year. Nobody's seen him live.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a... You know, games are hard to predict. We're going to talk later on about seasons hard to predict. Now, I told you yesterday, I went off, and in case you've seen them, we had an 8-minute social media post of me telling you that anything can happen. And last year's a great example of it.
Yep.
I told the story that this was Larry Williams and I at practice last year. We're talking about Vecina and, like, what's it look like? And I said, well, what if they go 8-4? And Larry went, 8-4? This is the preseason. Go 8-4? Like, that was absurd to think about. And he was right by saying he wasn't wrong. No one was predicting what happened.
That if you had told me 8-4 this time last season, I would have been like, oh, that's such a letdown.
Fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. What I'm telling you is anything can happen. Clemson can go in and beat LSU.
Clemson can go in and beat LSU 17-10.
Yes. And take it and
Why
run
not?
And move on.
Because I don't think Levitt's going to be necessarily outstanding week
one. I don't trust
one.
Levitt.
No.
I trust Kiffin. I don't know if I trust Kiffin in game one.
I don't know if they're going to be able – we don't know if they're going to be able to run the ball.
Here's something that I thought about the other day that I forgot to do the research on. I'm going to do it right now. I don't think either team – well, I don't know. I think they've got a much better chance. LSU's got a better chance to run the football than Clemson does.
Really? Yeah. Clemson better be able to run the football some.
Oof.
Better be.
All right. Let me give you the Lane Kiffin opening games. How's his team done in opening games of his new program? Not opening games of the season. I'm talking about the first game at a program. Because there's a big difference in year one and year two.
For
Everybody
sure.
kind of got your terminology. You're talking about swimming and terminology. There's a lot of that. So as the Raiders go in the opener, do we even count that? Do we even care about what he did in the Raiders? Let's see how he did on this one. Where's their schedule? They only won four games, by the way. They were 4-12, so it couldn't have gone too doggone good. But they had preseason games, too. We're not going to count that one, even though I don't think it's pretty good. Tennessee in 2009 opened up with Western Kentucky, and he scored 63. But then laid an egg at home against UCLA, scoring 15, and Florida losing to Florida by scoring 13. The year Tennessee didn't go all that well, by the way, 7-6. First year at Southern Cal, they opened up with Hawaii, scored 49. But in week two, it gets a better opponent against Virginia, just 17. I'm hoping there's a trend here through this. In year one at Florida Atlantic, his first game he played Navy and scored 19.
Mm-hmm.
And the next game against Wisconsin scored 14. I'm kind of liking this.
Me too.
At Ole Miss, his first game was at Florida. They scored 35. They gave up 51.
Gave up 51 is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got.
At Ole Miss, they scored points that first year. At Ole Miss, that first year, they lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That was COVID. They went 5-5. That was COVID. But they scored 35, 42, 48, 21, 28, 54, 59, 31, 48, 26. But they gave up 51. They gave up 63, 42, 53. Like, they were just terrible on defense.
I mean, that's the Ole Miss – or not Ole Miss, but I guess Ole Miss under Lane Kiffin. That was the identity there, really, until last season.
Yeah.
Was that they were going to put up a ton of points and their defense wasn't going to be that good.
I don't think that's going to be the case at LSU. I don't think that this offense is going to light it up early.
I think they will eventually.
Yes. Later.
I don't even know if that's year one.
Maybe. But they didn't. I'm going to say this. They didn't spend $50 million to go down there and fumble a thing around, you know, fiddle fart around.
No.
They didn't go down. You're not paying $50 million to go down there and just kind of muck it up and win 17-10 games.
That's not a Lane Kiffin type game. It's not.
Yes.
If you get LSU. Clemson gets LSU in a 17-10 game.
Take it.
That tells you a lot about Clemson's defense, and Clemson's coming out of that with a win.
You feel better about Clemson's defense than their offense right now?
That's an interesting question. Let me say this. As a whole, yes. Individual players, I feel better about the offense. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I feel better about the talent of the wide receivers and the tight ends.
Let me rephrase it this then. In Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Would you feel better about in the fourth quarter of a war? Would you feel better about the offense taking a couple of drives and driving it down the field to win the game? Or would you feel about the defense holding them out to win the game?
Feel better about defense holding them out, for sure.
Me too.
But that's also some of that's the environment less than it is the offense.
Yeah.
You're going to have people so loud screaming at Christopher Vezina or Tate Reynolds.
Yeah.
Like, I just, that's a big game situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think for any situation, I would feel better about a defense getting a stop right there, probably. For most.
All right. When we come back, I got to set this up. When we come back, yesterday we ended the show after a Chad question in single game season Chad from Columbia, not Chad Moore. So Chad question about Chad and about the offense. And you and I 100% disagree.
We do.
And I can't wait to point counterpoint on what the season could look like. And to set it up, the social media blast we put out yesterday, which I didn't like, was 8 minutes of me blabbing. But my point through it all is that there is a scenario where Vecina could get hurt early, come back late, and look good. There's a scenario where he could look bad early and Reynolds look good. There's a scenario where the offense could look awful, the defense carry. There's a scenario where the defense could look terrible, but the offense has to carry. And there's long seasons, and last year taught Penn State and Clemson fans that you don't know what's going to happen. You just don't. And so all those scenarios, to me, lead to this idea that how it looks is just as important, if not more important, than what it is. So, in other words, the art class is the story, not the math class. It's not 9-3 or 10-2. It's how it looks in that. We'll dive into that when we come back. Ashby and Mickey, hour two after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson.
Greenville Anderson.
WAHT-AM 1560.
Cowpens.
97.5 Spartanburg.
We are the Roar.
Speed on the bases, power at the plate, Gold Glove defense across the diamond. The Stars of Atlanta are ready to take the field.
Michael Harris going to sprint back, and he somehow makes the catch, Willie Mays style, and goes into the wall.
For every pitch from March to October,
we are your home for Atlanta Braves baseball.
Right here on The Roar.
The Upstate Sports Authority, 105.5 and 97.5.
The Roar,
where every day is game day.
Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Right now we're talking about your ACs and your cooling systems and getting those things finely tuned and making sure that. Now, we're going to be talking about heating here pretty doggone soon, your furnaces and your heat pumps, and let's make sure we get that thing right. The Armstrong unit that they sell there, they love that one. They love the Arctic Flex. They sell generators, though, by the way, but they talk about air quality. And what air quality looks like, and while the humidity is a major deal for them, and let's get the best quality of air they can have inside of your home as well. Let's talk to those about a preventive maintenance program. Let's talk to them about AC repair and AC installation and mini-split systems and the difference in mini-split systems, the pros and cons of that, and heat pump services and heat pump maintenance and all that. Let's take care of it. Let's talk. Ask them about their air guard detection and mold protection units. So let's talk to them about that with Blue Ridge Heating Air. Check out their 5-star reviews. It's BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com.
We make traffic a little more tolerable. The Upstate Sports Leader.
That's right.
The Roar.
No one ever wants to deal with roof trouble, but when it happens, it's comfortable.